Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Today is our concluding interview, part four of four, with Pastor Steve Castle of the Beloved Church in Lena, Illinois. Now, yesterday, as we concluded part three, Steve was telling us about how God spoke to him audibly at an Andrew Womack meeting, telling him it was time to leave corporate America and enter full-time ministry. So I start off today's episode with my testimony of how the Lord spoke to me audibly as well and got me launched into what we're doing now in the online radio and podcast ministry. And it's so amazing when you see God do things like this. And what he does for one, he'll do for another. So, you know, just sit back, enjoy the rest of this interview, take your notes, and then we'll talk to you on the other side. We'll talk soon.
And ended up that, I had been injured. Matter of fact, I was recovering from a surgery. I got hurt in 2007. I had several surgeries, and I was on crutches at that JSMI meeting because I had recovered from a surgery and knee surgery. And in 2010, everything was going. Get back to work, da, da, da. And then the knee would go out again, back on light duty, and another surgery to fix whatever was wrong this time. Back on crutches, get healed, go back out. And in 2010, they're like, because I enjoyed my career. I mean, I other than being in the military, I loved law enforcement. And they say, you know what? We're thinking that you can't do this job anymore. And that was in spring of 2010. So this is only like 4 or 5 months, right, after this little epiphany about starting a radio program. And so I was in prayer and I said, Lord, what is it you want me to do? Should I keep fighting for this, or you got something else planned? What is it you want me to do? And again, that voice came and it was so clear. It said, what did I tell you to do? I don't know, but I kept a prayer journal.
Yeah, you do.
So I start flipping the pages backwards, right? And I got to like November 8th, and there it was. God said, start a weekly online 30-minute radio program. And I hadn't done it. So we did, and I started getting a little following and all that, and that's has now grown into what we're doing today with worldwide ministry through radio, but I'm right there with you. It was so loud, so clear. I'm like, shh, can't you hear they're preaching? Type of thing. Right. I turned around to see who it was that said that. It wasn't anybody. Right.
God, will you please be quiet? I'm listening to things about God.
And then like I said, like 5 minutes. And you need to do what God tells you to do, even if he tells you to start a radio station. I'm like, oh, man. I just had to insert that because I can relate to everything you're talking about, brother. We're going to have to continue this conversation. We're going into a third episode time now, but I got a couple questions for you. Now, how did you end up opening a church in Lena, Illinois?
Through passion and ignorance. obviously I didn't know, I didn't know anything there was. So I actually became really, really good at leadership and business and all that kind of stuff. It was just the grace of God because I was in an ignorant place in my spiritual life, but God is able to redeem anything. And it's just so amazing who yeah. God is. So amen. Anyway, I became a very formidable leader and understood business and understood economics and all that kind of stuff. And I was really good at that stuff. I'd started businesses. I'd started corporations at that point, but I really didn't know how to do this church thing. Mm-hmm. Especially in Illinois, here I am still living in Texas, and I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth, 6-8 million people in the Metroplex. I'm supposed to go back to a place. Now to put this in perspective, the county that I live in, if you add the county that I live in and the four surrounding counties to the county that I live in, there's not 100,000 people.
Wow.
In almost the five counties, there's not 100,000 people. And so here I am in a tiny itty bitty place that's got 8 million people. And I'm supposed to go start a church that in the five counties doesn't even have 100,000 people.
Yeah.
You know, this is literally like cornfield, as rural as you can get, northwestern Illinois, you know, gravel roads. A bunch of my church lives on gravel roads. And I'm like, you know, what do I had to, basically what the bottom line is I had to not do it from the business, economics, / leadership, you know, all that stuff that I had learned. Because I would have done it, you know, by marketing and by money and by, you know, glitz and glamour and all that. In the carnal part of me, that's how I would have done it. But God specifically called me to Pearl City, Illinois, 800 people. 800 people. He called me there to start a church. And there was nowhere to even start a church. When I came here and met with the people, and I finally came here and met with some of the pastors that were here, there was two churches in town already and a couple out in the country, and I met with all these. Out of all these churches and these ministers that I met with, there was only one out of all of them that even acknowledged the fact that I even had the ability to do it. I mean, the rest of them were just irritated. Like, you know, what do you think you're doing? Why are you going to start a church here? You know, are we doing a bad job? Is God saying that we suck and we need you? And I'm like, I don't know. God, quit, you know, grilling me. I just came here to start a church, and I'm trying to be gracious and let you know that I'm not here to steal your sheep. You know, we're going to find people that are unchurched and dechurched, and we're going to start a church. And I could not catch a break. And here we are, just plug and plug. I bought a restaurant here in order, because I knew there was no way I was going to start a church in a town of 800 and be able to feed my family at the same time. So I bought a restaurant here, and I'm building the church on the side and building the restaurant on the other side and doing all this stuff. And finally we got a break, and there was a guy that owned a funeral home and in the floodplain here in Pearl City. And he said, well, you know, you can, if you keep it clean and in between funerals, if it's okay, he goes, like, you can do church in my funeral home. So we started Beloved Church in the funeral home in Pearl City, Illinois. And that first service, man, I'll tell you what, it was the glory of God. I had 12 people, 4 of them were my family. And I had another 4 people from the bar that was next door to my restaurant that somehow I talked a bunch of folks that were half inebriated to come to church the next day. So I had 4 people from the bar, I had 4 people from the family, from my own personal family, and then 4 other people, my parents, my sister-in-law, and we had church, and it was a wreck. It was awesome. I mean, I was doing my destiny, but it was, you know, this was one of those times that I in my life,
by faith, not by sight.
Yeah. I had to do it by grace. Yeah. You know, I had become really good at depending on myself and depending on my intelligence and depending on my leadership skills and depending on some of the knowledge that I got in business and all that kind of, that's kind of how I had developed myself. I didn't realize it until here I am trying to start a church, and I had to do it 100% by grace. I had to do it by God. I couldn't do it by my intelligence. I couldn't do it by personality. I couldn't do it by charisma. I couldn't do it. I didn't have any of that stuff. And Pearl City didn't want any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Amen. And so I had to do it completely by grace. And so anyway, we fumbled and stumbled through this process. And, you know, eventually we had 15 people and then 20 people. So, you know, long story short, that was 8 years ago. Now we got, there's probably 150 folks in our church, and we're in the neighboring town. Our original church location ended up getting flooded, and they condemned it, knocked it down. And we bought a facility in one of the neighboring towns in Lena, Illinois. And so now we got about 100 folks that gather on Sundays, about 150 people in the church. And I've also started, you know, this, worldwide ministry, Steve Castle Ministries.
Yep.
And so that the answer to your question is, I have no idea. It was by the grace of God. If Charisma Magazine interviewed me now, right, and said, hey, Steve, tell us about how you became this successful pastor in rural Illinois, I'd say, I don't know. I just trusted God. I made a bunch of mistakes, and God told me when I was being foolish, and I repented, and he fixed it. And it's by the grace of God. It's honestly completely by the grace of God. When I stand up every Sunday and I preach about the grace of God, it's not a doctrine. It's not, you know, it's not a Bible college course. It's it's what my life is. Like, because in my own self, in Steve Castle, there is no good thing. And mm-hmm. so the only way to do this is through the grace of God and allowing the under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, and by the grace of God is how we've accomplished what we've accomplished. And bro, let me tell you, there are so many incredible testimonies, marriages that have been healed, people that have been redeemed from addictions, people that have come out of terrible situations, people born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed and delivered, people that have come from poverty to wealth, and all of this in little old bitty beloved church. And it wasn't because of the incredible leadership and skill set in Steve Castle. It's just because of the grace of God.
Amen.
We just humbled ourselves and allowed God to lead these things. And that's where Beloved Church came from. We just accepted in the Beloved. Let the Holy Spirit lead the church. That, you know, Jesus is the head of the church. I'm just the under shepherd. He's the great shepherd. But we also, you know, now God is starting to be able to redeem some of those things. Now I see myself leaning on, because I'm getting invitations all over the world to come and to teach some leadership things. I've gone into some businesses and I've done leadership trainings in businesses. But it's through the redemption, through the grace of God, that I've taken these concepts and I've let that golden thread of grace run mm-hmm. through them. And I've taken some of these worldly or kind of carnal or secular traits, and I filtered them through the heart of God. And now I have this incredible leadership.
Let's talk about your personal ministry. I mean, because not only do you have the church, but you have that personal ministry that is now launching as well. Tell us what your vision is for your personal ministry.
And that really honestly is what it is. It's so I do not have any desire whatsoever to be that guy that comes to your church or comes to your business. And I just mm-hmm. kind of do that wham, bam, thank you, ma'am kind of thing mm-hmm. where I just drop a big sermon on y'all and mm-hmm. blast it and, you know, get five partners and then skip on down the road. I have zero desire to do any of that. My desire through Steve Castle Ministries is to come and legitimately connect to the leaders and the leadership team, specifically the head leaders of those ministries, to connect with them, their spouse. I bring my spouse with me. You know, Kay comes with me almost all the time that we travel. We as a couple connect with them as a couple. We establish relationship. We let them know that, hey, if nobody in this world supports you, loves you, believes in you, and is willing to talk and to speak into your life to bring accountability, if nobody on this earth is willing to do that, we are. And we connect personally, legitimately with that leadership. We meet with the leadership team of the church or of the ministry. You know, we want the executive team in there. We want the different layers of leaders in there. We meet with them for hours. We go through some really, really important godly leadership principles into that team. We impart them in there. We get their names. They get our names and contact information. I follow up with that leadership team. Hey, are you putting these things into interaction? Or are you being accountable for these kind of things? And then, if it's a church, on Sunday morning, then I bring a message to the congregation that solidifies and encourages and is in the exact same purpose of what that lead minister, what that head pastor is trying to accomplish in his mission and his vision. In other words, Steve Castle Ministries, my job is to come in and make the destiny that God has called you into better.
Amen.
To help undergird it, to bring in assets, to... You know, Ephesians tells us that the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry until mm-hmm. we all come into the unity of faith. So my job is to come in and to equip those lead ministers Amen. In ways that maybe they didn't have equipment before, and to hold their congregations and their leadership teams accountable to the mission and the vision that they have been given by God, that the grace of God has breathed into them. And so I do a lot of research, like, okay, hey, what's your church about? You know, what's the mission? What's the vision? And sometimes I've gone to ministries like, well, I don't know. We're just called to be a church. It's like, okay, so problem number one is we don't have a mission. We don't have a vision. So let's develop that. And then Kay and I, and we've ministered to couples. You know, For those of you that are out there, you know, one of the most horrendous jobs that anybody could ever have is pastor's wife.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you're used and abused and refused and discarded, and you tend to not have any real legitimate relationships because you can't really be friends with the people in the church because they'll just use it against you. But then you don't have any connections outside of the church. That's one of the reasons that I bring Kay with me.
Yeah.
Because she's incredible. She's probably one of the greatest women on the entire face of the earth. And B, because those wives, they tend to not have those connections. And they're like, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, what, right. Do I have a ministry or do I not? Do I have a voice or do I not? Am I just supposed to be abused by this congregation or not? And, you know, and everybody, you know, it's Pastor Appreciation Month and let's everybody appreciate the pastor. Well, what about her? You know, she has to put up with that jerk. You know, she's got to go to bed every night with him while he complains about how mean the sheep are, you know, and she's the one that needs the praise of God on her. Man. And so Steve Castle Ministries, I'm not coming in to preach a sermon. I am going to preach a sermon and it's going to be incredible. And your people are going to love it. And they're going to be inspired by it. They're going to repent in Jesus' name. I always tend to bring a message that requires some kind of repentance and change in people. But the real legitimate reason is that we're going to connect, and the assets of who I am and the grace of God on the inside of me and everything that I have available to me is now going to be yours. It's going to be gifted to you. It's going to be to you free of charge. And I am going to be someone that's going to be in your pocket for the rest of your life. If you so choose, I will be connected to you through Steve Castle Ministries until you have the fullness of the destiny that God has called you to have. And you basically don't need me anymore. So when I go, I'm not going to preach a sermon. I'm going to legitimately connect to a church, to a ministry, to the leadership teams, to the congregations, so that we as the body of Christ, the whole universal body of Christ, we together can get better and accomplish what we need to accomplish so that we can say, come Lord Jesus, come. And he can say, okay, you guys are ready. Let's go.
Amen. Tell us what your next big project is, something that you're working on right now.
Oh man, I am. man, you're messing with me now. I'm actually working on another ministry called the Disciples Diet. Kay and I have about a year ago we got a revelation about our temple, our physical bodies, that just kind of revolutionized everything. As I sit here today, I'm down about 60 pounds.
Amen. Me too.
I'm probably, amen. God bless you. I'm probably physically stronger and more agile and have more endurance than I probably ever have in my life. And that includes, you know, when I was 16 years old playing football in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And this all came from a revelation. So my wife is down 50 pounds. I'm down 60 pounds. You know, we basically got rid of a person out of our house. 110 pound person is gone. And we're
eating out of house and home.
And we, you know, we, one of the first things that we got when we got born again is we got a revelation that God wanted us to live in divine health. You know, divine health is 10,000 times better than getting healed.
Oh yeah.
Never getting sick is way better than getting sick and getting healed and getting sick and getting healed. And so we just decided like, hey, if that's better, we'll just shoot for that bad boy. Amen. And so outside of two or three times in both Kay and I, if you add it both together, outside of two or three times, Kay and I have never had anything physically that we have not been able to shake in 48, 72 hours. Mm-hmm. Outside of literally two, three, four times in 24 years since we've been married, since we've been together. I mean, nothing, no hospital visits, no nothing. If we could not accomplish it through the grace and the faith of God, I would rather die, believe in God, than die at the hand of a surgeon with a scalpel and under malpractice. You know, It'd be way better to be trusting God and show up in heaven and say, well, I got here good from trusting you. And he's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, than have some surgeon kill me. And I'm not saying that doctors and surgeons are trying to kill people. I know they're trying to do the right thing. But it's just way better to trust God. And so we decided 24 years ago, not everybody makes that decision, but we did. We decided to trust God 24 years ago, and he's our great physician, and he's our everything. Same thing with our kids. When they got sick, we laid hands on them. We commanded sickness and disease out of their body. In fact, to this day, they're both grown. My daughter's 20 and my son's 18. And to this day, they both believe God for their own health. Mm-hmm. They, you know, we can count on one hand the number of times either of them have ever seen a doctor. And they, you know, they're, and when they went to school, you know, the kids would make fun of them. You know, you don't go to the doctor, you don't do this. And they're like, nope. But they also never were sick either. We actually had to fight with the school district because they never had shots and all that kind of stuff. Wow. It was like, we're not letting your kids in our school. They have never had shots. I'm like, well, we have a right, a constitutional right to not have to inject our kids with poison and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, we've had to actually fight for this stuff and be persecuted. Yeah. But we've lived in this, and as I was pastoring a church, you know, I usually had a kind of an active lifestyle, so to say, when I was running restaurants and doing other things. And I've kind of been a gym guy most of my life, and a jogger and a walker, and I like free weights and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I basically kind of kept my weight under control in the past through just working out.
Yeah.
That's but what happened was, is it would take, it'd take 2, 3, 4 years or 2, 3, 4 hours a day, sometimes 6 days a week, for me to be able to kind of control my weight and through the gym and through all that kind of stuff. And when I started, when we moved here and I bought the restaurant and I started planting the church, I didn't have 4 hours a day. I didn't have 40 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And so long story short, over the 8 years that we lived here, it just added a pound, added a pound, added a pound. Mm-hmm. So here I am. Being the person that I said I'd never be. I'd never be that person standing behind a pulpit, you know, some fat, sassy, hypocritical preacher telling everybody how to live, you know, a sanctified, holy life. And I'm up there 60 pounds overweight, busting out of my belt and trying to tell everybody else to follow God and to be humble and to keep under your body. And I became that person. And it, and God basically spoke it to me, like, you know, what's going on here? And I repented. And we repented, Kay and I repented so so big that it literally changed our lives. And so I'm actually working on something, a ministry right now. I'm in the foundation stages of it. I'm right now raising funds because it's actually going to be, this is going to be a very, very professional and a very powerful launch for something called the Disciples Diet Ministry, which is where I invite people into a revelation and a repentance that they, that revolves around divine health and their body and their weight and taking care of the temple. You know, God's called me to preach for a minimum. I am not allowed to leave this planet until I'm at least 120 years old, barring being a martyr. My mom named me Stephen after the first martyr in the Bible. And I'm not saying that she's prophesying me, you know, being a martyr, but I'm either going to be martyred or I'm living to be at least 120 years old. And I promise you, if I stand up to preach a sermon at 120 years old, I am going to be as vibrant. I'm going to be as full of life. I'm going to be as active at 120 as I am right now at 44. And when that revelation hit me, you know, the Lord's like, I need you to be able to do that. And I'm like, well, 60 pounds overweight and your joints hurting and believing God for, you know, headaches and, you know, addicted to, basically the American populace as a whole is addicted to sugar, and we don't realize it, but sugar goes into your body and does horrendous things, but then you crave more of it, and then you start that whole cycle. And then here I was, 60 pounds overweight, my wife overweight, you know, and we're thinking, here we are living this great godly life. And we were, from the spiritual side of us, we were doing great things. But then there was some things in our natural lives that were out of alignment. Yeah. And so I'm working on trying to make this available. Principal. And it's going to be really weird. You're going to be just scrolling through Facebook one day, and you're going to see my face pop up on your Facebook feed. I'm going to say, hey, you, are you fat? Are you a Christian? Are you sick? Are you tired of being that way? You know, click here or sign up for this webinar or whatever. How, I don't know exactly how the launch is going to be, but I'm basically going to sit down with folks. And I'm going to say, look, this is not okay. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are supposed to be taking care of this. We are supposed to be doing this thing.
As that draws closer, we need to get you back on. We'll talk just about that ministry, because I can read on so many levels that you were talking about, but we're out of time for today. Steve, your story is so inspiring to me. I mean, I know our listeners are getting a lot out of this interview.
Amen. Well, praise God.
And, you know, basically how God never gives up on us.
I
had learned, as you did, and, you know, that that's just an encouragement to someone who may be going through something right now, that that God never gives up. We may give up, but he never gives up. You know, praise the Lord. Again, if someone, Steve, if someone wanted to reach out to you to ask a question, maybe even do an interview like this, how can they do that? You get in touch with
SteveCassell.com, C-A-S-S-E-L-L, SteveCassell.com, or BelovedChurchIllinois.com, or on Facebook. My personal page is Steve Castle. I'm getting close to that 5,000 limit. Steve Castle Ministries, obviously that's endless amounts of people that can connect there. You know, Messenger through Facebook, there's ways to email me from the from either of those two websites. There's I'm a very approachable and easily reachable kind of person. If someone wants me to call them, I'm happy to call them. I'm not, you know, not scared for people to know how to reach me. So if anybody wants to, they can send you an email. You can flip it to me. Yep. If you need to get a hold of me, you know, if worst case, Google Steve Castle and eventually you'll find me.
Amen. Amen. Folks, Pastor Steve Castle is the real deal. As you heard, I mean, he's been where some of you, or he has been where some of you have been or are right now. And I know I've been there too. And we're here to tell you, Jesus never gives up. And if you're in or traveling near Lena, Illinois, you need to stop by or at least get in touch with Steve. Stop by the church, be ministered to in a powerful way. Amen. I can't emphasize enough. If you have any questions or you'd like to ask Steve, maybe to come out and speak to your leadership team, your business, or your ministry, get in touch with him. Praise God. Just click the links in the show notes below. Check out his personal ministry or the church website. Just do it today while you're thinking about it. Amen. Amen. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the program and share with us today. It was a blessing talking to you, brother.
Amen. I'm humbled and honored to be here, Robert. I really appreciate what you're doing. You guys are doing an incredible job. You're covering the globe with the with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can assure you that the Lord's heart is blessed by what you guys are doing.
Well, and
this is very humbling and very, very honorable for me. And I'm pleased to have the opportunity to be a part of what you guys are doing.
Amen. And I don't want to forget this either, but we're working on getting you on the radio station here in just a couple of weeks as well.
Amen. 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 Yep.
Oh,
yep.
You be looking for that coming
out. Yep. Yep.
That's another project you're working on.
That's another project. I got my plate is full, and I got to learn how to eat until I can't take no more spiritually.
Amen. Amen. Well, folks, that is all the time we have for today. For Pastor Steve Castle, myself, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this. Your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts, share your unique insights, and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with FaithCasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the FaithCasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. FaithCasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a FaithCaster. FaithCasters, your voice, your platform, your success.